Hey.
Chris.
Oh, this is
how are you?
Chris and Kelly and Lori.
Welcome. Did you get a chance to see the eclipse?
Oh, we've been walking back and forth looking through our special glasses, checking it out. How about you?
Yeah, we had a chance to see it. I'm in Indiana, so I didn't get, of course, the full thing, but it was wonderful. You know, it was just exciting. So, anyway.
Yeah. It's pretty cool here, and there's a crowd outside our building watching it, too.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it? It's a riot.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's... So bring me up to date on how was your week, and actually I think it was 2 weeks, right?
No, we were here last week. We got cut short because you had a call scheduled 30 minutes into ours, and so we didn't get to really do a whole lot.
That was it. We didn't have a chance to. They booked me too tight here.
Anyway. So we got off to we fell a little bit behind on the scheduling, but Kelly has been kind of jumping ahead, and we've got a pretty full week already this week, and we probably are about 4 to 6 weeks out from being totally scheduled on a regular rotation, so not too far away.
Okay.
And really, I think a lot of that has to do with work. I told you I was kind of losing track right now of who have I introduced and given the mini-me folder to? Who have I introduced, given the mini-me folder to, and established their best time each month? And there's people at all levels of those three stages of the introduction. So.
Yeah, you need to get that all down on a spreadsheet or something.
Lori's got it on the spreadsheet. I just haven't been as good about keeping up with it, so we're going to make sure we're up to speed on all that.
Yeah, because that can get nasty. But have her make a copy for you, and then you just give it to her at the end of every day.
Okay.
Oh.
Hello.
Hey, welcome.
Hey, Rob, you're not out looking at the clips, huh?
Yeah, cool. So are you right in the middle of it right now, or?
No, it's already kind of come and gone here.
Yeah, same here, yeah.
Where are you?
I'm in Indiana, so Kentucky was the closest that we could go, and I figured I'd see enough, and we did. We've got a pretty good view of it. Just a little bit of the top, the hat, was the only thing that was still visible.
Yeah, it didn't get dark here. I mean, it just got twilight. But it didn't get dark.
Yeah, that was the same here. Yeah, you probably saw the bottom. When you looked at it, you saw the sun was in the bottom of it, right? Sort of.
Yes.
Ours had a little hat on the top.
Yeah.
Because we were north of it, of the path. You were south of the path.
Okay.
So yours would be like a soup bowl or something.
Well, it was an event. I tell you, it's kind of funny watching everybody standing around outside the building looking at it with those funny glasses. And we had some pinhole cameras right here, so we were looking through boxes.
That's great. I remember doing that as a kid, looking through the boxes.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that was fun. Well, Paul, bring me up to date on your progress with Supernova for the last week.
Here, I'll let Travis give you the update.
Okay.
I know Pam has been working very hard on getting all the folders done, and which is a lot of work. You know, she's got this little machine that she's got that she types in the names, and it has a little adhesive thing that sticks on there. Pretty cool. And putting together the folders.
More of the same of just introducing the program to the clients, and we're going to start doing our team meetings every day at 9 o'clock. I think we haven't started yet, but the goal. So.
We continue to get rid of clients. I've got a few this past week.
Good. How are the team meetings going?
Well, we Right now, they're not going too well. We haven't been doing them. It's kind of like this gym I joined about a month ago. I went over there and joined, and I haven't been back since. But I feel better. And, since I've joined. And, but, yeah, we got on the plans to get together every night, 9 o'clock, but for some reason we hadn't really started, doing it yet.
Well, pick a time that works. If 9 doesn't work, then make it 11 or make it 3 or make it whenever everybody can actually get together. Rather
okay.
than jamming your schedule into something that doesn't work. The other thing I was just talking to Chris about is keeping track of who's gotten what. So you really need to make a spreadsheet because some people you've talked to about it, other people you've talked to and you've given them a folder. And other people you've talked to them, you've given them folder and their schedule. So you want to, and what I was saying to them was make a spreadsheet and then make a copy of it. And if you're going to talk to somebody and schedule them, I mean, I like one person scheduling everything and you guys not messing with it. But if you are going to mess with it, then you got to give that feedback to your assistant right away so that they can block that time out and they're not scheduling on top of it. If two people are scheduling it, you know, it can get kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So just anticipate that opportunity and kind of plan for it. My suggestion is only one person schedule everything.
Okay. My problem is going to be saying no, you know. I can see that already. Like last week I opened two accounts. One was a husband and wife, both of them doctors, and they had just started, they're in their 30s. They're going to start saving $10,000 a month. So, I mean, you know, they were referred to me by other doctors. So even though they don't have any money to start with, I'm going to work with them. And then another person, who was the other person that we hope to account like $500,000 with?
Bullet Fly.
Bullet, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So another client brought in his girlfriend, and she has about, I think, $600,000 she wanted to roll over to us. So it was below the minimum, but we took it. So that's my problem. I can't say, you know, people are nice enough to refer people and bring them over. I have a hard time saying, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, you know, you need to go down the street or something. I have a hard time with that.
It's a question of what you want. You know, I just got done with talking to a team about that wanted to hire me and Morgan Stanley, and they are, their problem is that they have been running, you know, in front of their business, like you run in front of the bulls, you know, and the business is chasing them, and they're not running the business, and they're sick of it. They're doing enough business, they don't need the business, like they did when they got started, so they really want to hire me to get control of their business. If you like the chaos of having lots of accounts, God bless you, you know. But one guy is just working, you know, stupid hours. And I said, you know, you shouldn't. You know, you should be able to work, you know, a normal, you know, I consider a normal day 8 to 5. And if you can do $10 million working 8 to 5, you don't need to spend 12 hours in there. You still should be able to have your fun. But you got to say no, or you're never going to get control. You know, once you clean out the closet, if you don't say no, the closet's just going to be filled with junk again. All the people that you had before that you cleaned out will be back in there. And you're not going to have made any progress, and you're going to make yourself crazy.
Hey, Paul, I got a question.
Okay.
So when you bring in these two new clients, do you introduce them to the Supernova process and tell them you'll be talking to them every month?
Well, I start them off with a financial plan, you know, kind of making sure that we come up with a, and the reason for that is just to, you know, let that drive the asset allocation process and coming up with a plan that's good for them that fits into a, you know, kind of a goals-based investing program. But so that part of it, the part of the supernova, as far as how often I'm going to meet with them, I mean, I'm going to be perfectly honest, you know, until I get a handle on some things, I'm probably going to have that all clients are going to be very important, but not equal. You know, I'm going to have some clients I'm going to meet with every, or make a contact with every month and some every quarter.
Yeah, because what's happening with us really is kind of driving the process, and we come across these same issues. But when you get the 70 in, matter of fact, Lori and I met last week and reduced our number a little bit more. I think I was at 76, and she had, you know, we had some extra butlers, so we cut the butlers down. I cut about six clients out because once you get to 70, your week's so full that I just don't see, and not from, you know, not from the business running you, you running the business, but after you have 70 kind of plugged into all these days, plus you take a few days off, plus you have some free time, plus you have to leave the office occasionally, that my week's full.
Yeah, you got to have time for prospecting, you know, so.
Well, that's the excess time. That's for me, you know, Thursday afternoons and all day Fridays. I push the call days to be Monday afternoons, Tuesday and Thursday mornings, and all day Wednesday. So Tuesday afternoons, Thursday afternoons is really kind of the follow-up and the agenda-type work, and Friday is an entire prospecting day for me.
Mm-hmm. And on your prospecting day, are you – tell me about that. What would your day look like?
Well, I mean, right now it's mainly focused on COIs. You know, we have run pipelines of prospects in the past where every time one came in, we pushed it in, we looked at what we thought the assets were, knew what the assets were, we assigned probabilities of success and next steps. We haven't done that in a while, so, you know, once we get through the segmentation, on Fridays are generally when I like to touch base with people or send an article of interest or, you know, call them or, you know, just something to push that process on a little bit further. There's usually a reason to follow up with them, but we have not focused on prospects, gosh, in a number of months. And then, which we do have people come through as referrals, but again, making our book all A clients and getting rid of all the rest is now giving us that time again to start prospecting, and really the COIs are taking up most of my prospecting time, but I'm almost finalized those six. And so I'm looking forward to pushing some in the pipeline.
Yeah, you know, we got to get better at maybe isolating just a day or certain times to do the prospecting. Like, you know, mine's kind of, just see the pantry. Like I just before I got, I was a little late getting on the phone because I was talking to a guy that I met, and I got to have a conversation with him and found out he manages workman comp funds. Well, that's what we do. So I was on the phone with him setting up a lunch meeting next week to take him to lunch. So that's kind of how I do prospecting.
But I'll say. I mean, obviously, and Rob, you don't know this, but Paul's had a very successful practice. But, you know, one of the things Lori and Kelly and I told each other when we started this, we said, we're going to drink the Kool-Aid because either it's going to work for us or it's not going to work for us. And we've gone through a couple of coaches in the last number of years on segmentation, the AVs and the Cs, and we've just never been able to make that work for us. So, you know, part of the issue of taking clients, and we've had – I think I mentioned last call, Lori and I had a call that we had started as the supernova process was starting, and we had a life view scheduled to do with them, and we started the call off saying, hey, I don't want to waste your time, but let me tell you a little bit about what's happened with us, and we now have new minimums. I mean, the call was a 5 to 7 minute call to basically say, you know, I don't think this is going to be a fit for you. And I don't want to waste your time, so I'd rather send you someplace else. And we introduced it to another financial advisor. It feels bad when you chase after a client and then get on the phone with them when they're finally agreed to do a life view with you and say, you know, hey, we're not going to take the business. But the one thing we're trying to be aware of is if we keep taking $500,000 accounts in, then we're going to find ourselves 3 months from now exactly where we were when we started this and not being able to prospect, not being able to service the A clients we want to service the way we have and not getting those additional A referrals. So, I mean, I hear everything you say, and I feel the same things, and we've even fallen a couple of times into those same old habits. But, you know, I guess my challenge is, this is going to sound wrong, but it sounds like you're really not bought into Supernova.
No, I bought into some of it. I bought into, you know, the financial plan for every client, the scheduled meetings for every client, the in-person meetings for every client. I'm just not, you know, I'm just not quite ready to get rid of clients I've had for a long time. You know, that's the struggle I'm having. Or people who are like, you know, nice enough to, you know, guy, I mean, we just opened an account with a guy who makes $2 million a year. Well, you know, he hasn't started an investment plan yet because he spent $3 million on some farm property. So he meets with me, and I tell him, look, pay off the farm. You know, so he's going to, you know, he'll probably put in $25,000 a month investing with me, something like that. So most of his money's going to go toward paying off the farm in 3 years. But he'll be a hell of a client one day. So I'm not going to turn him down.
Yeah, I think that's the better question is, does the Supernova not have any, I guess, gray area for future prospects or clients that will are kind of guaranteed to meet your Supernova minimums? And they might not hit it now, but you certainly don't want them, like the two doctors, the husband and wife who signed up yesterday, they're going to be making $800,000 a piece probably, you know, here in the future. You know, but you really would turn that down?
You asking me or Rob?
I guess both of you guys. I mean,
I'll let you answer it, Chris, because you've dropped the clue.
Yeah, I totally understand. the black and white. If you buy in, you buy in. It's like saving in his little process that it does. But I don't know. I just thought there may be some special cases for a little wiggle room.
Well, I you know, use Rob's scenario or standard comment. Common sense always trumps everything else. And if this feels like it's going to be a client that's going to meet your minimum within a reasonable amount of time, and I think on one of the previous calls, Rob had even mentioned, you know, if it's 5 years, that may not be the right fit, because I think with this process, I'm not as much concerned about us finding new clients. I'm concerned about us having the time to service them once we find them. And so to me, you know, if we bring in a $300,000 account and another $400,000, another $500,000, because we think 5 or 6 or 7 years from now they're going to be that client, and then next year we find $5 million clients, then we kind of catch ourselves in a catch-22. You know, we found the clients we want today, and we may not have the capacity to service them because of the clients that will come one day. And another thing that really stuck with me, Rob, that you said is, who do you want to share your brand with? And we have had problems in the past where people think, oh, you know, Chris will take and Lori will take a, you know, $250,000, $500,000 account because that's what they do. And it was really weird. We had one of the conversations with one of the clients we let go, and it was one of the harder ones we had to do. And he said, well, you know, I was talking to the son, and the mom is the beneficiary of a $500,000 life insurance policy, and the ex-husband's been in a nursing home in Tennessee for probably 4 years. And he said, well, he goes, I really understand what you're doing, but when she receives this insurance, can we call you back? And I had to say, actually, no. I said, but I know people in the firm that would do a great job for you. So, I mean, I'm really trying to stick with that same story, because as hard as it is, I think within the next 2 to 3 years, it's going to serve us so well, because we're getting more attention from our largest clients on this process than we've gotten for anything in the past 5 years. And so I haven't had a $5 million client walk in, but I can really start to see when you become exclusive and you have a very specific process only for the largest clients, if two or three of those large clients come in, then they're going to make all the difference in the world. And I don't want the pipeline to be crowded with $500,000 clients who are going to be great clients 5 years from now, just because, you know, I don't have experience with this either, Paul and Travis. I'm saying I'm just trying to drink the Kool-Aid and trying to jump in with both feet. And it's been hard. It's been really hard. We had a meeting with one client. I told him we had a what was $2 million minimum. And he said, that's not a problem. We're selling our business. Well, I was on the phone with him a few weeks ago, and I said, what's the update on the business? He goes, oh, I don't think it's going to sell. And so we're going to have another meeting to say, you know, if this business sale doesn't look like it's going to come to fruition anytime in the next year, we've got to find another person for them to work with. I mean, that's how serious we are. We just got them, and we may be letting them go again.
So let me just say this. I used to say that Supernova wasn't for everybody, but I don't agree with that now. I think Supernova is right for everybody, but everybody can have a different minimum. And if you want to have more than, like say, Paul, you want to have, you know, 500 clients. All right, that's your idea of a perfect business. You can do that. You just need five players on your team. That's all. That may not be Chris's business model, but that may be your business model. Therefore, you can build your business to be the guy that takes everything and helps everybody because it makes you, you know, important in the community. You just have to have more FAs on your team, and you need to spend more time managing them. And so maybe some of the time that Chris is prospecting, you're managing the team, which is fine because they're all out there getting business, hopefully. So that becomes a different – it's still a Supernova model. It's just a different Supernova model. But we don't have A clients and B clients and C clients and D clients because that's too hard to service. And you can't explain to clients why that's in their best interest. You can't really explain that this is a good thing for them to be a D client with you. And so when you go out to tell your story in the community, it's very difficult to explain what you do service-wise. You can talk about investment-wise very easily, but you can't say, this is what I give to everybody and say it in one sentence. You're going to have to explain it. And once you get into explaining it, then people really get confused and you lose all the impact. So,
let me ask both of you. Do you have any concern that you're not diversifying your client base?
What does that mean, diversifying?
Well, let's say that, you know, you have end up having, you know, a few large clients and two of them get mad and leave, or three of them. And I guess I'm just trying to, you know.
The market downturns and they get, you know, upset about it.
I'll give you an example. I have a guy that I've been coaching for 8 years. We went through the recession. He had 90 clients then. He didn't lose one of them because he had done a financial plan on them, did 12-4-2, and rapid response to their problems. He was so excited when he came out the other side of the recession. He said, Rob, I didn't lose one client. Now he went from 800 to doing $3.5 million. He doesn't always have the same clients, but he still has 90 clients. And he said, Rob, I feel very comfortable. I don't have to put in any more time, and I can be doing 5 to 6 million. So that's the model. It's a different model than the take everything model and spend all your time. And let's just leave it there because selling Supernova is what we were supposed to do before we signed up for the coaching. But because I don't want to take the time to coach Supernova in just selling the idea of Supernova. That we needed to get in the beginning. But so let's move on to the lesson so we don't lose the lesson like we did the last time and couldn't cover the material. This is lesson 8. This is the last lesson in organization. We have 4 weeks of segmentation, and we should have determined who we're going to get rid of, and we should have gotten rid of those people at this point. And then now 4 weeks to get ourselves organized, contact our clients, let them know the good news, sign them up, have them set to go, so that close to now or in a week or two, we can begin the process of talking to those clients and actually experiencing the Supernova experience. And that should be the most meaningful part of it. You've already done it. You already contacted your clients. You already know how they love it and love the fact that they're going to be spending more time with you. But when you get a full schedule, now we're going to realize that this is really a full-time commitment in terms of intensity. Now, you're still going to have time to prospect, and we want that same intensity in the prospecting that we have with meeting with our clients. So we should be scheduling those centers of influence calls on a monthly basis just as much a ritual as you are doing with your clients. And that's the part that we don't have time for if we have too many clients. So when we have too many clients, we sacrifice our family life, we sacrifice our workout time, we sacrifice prospecting time, and all for the sake of small accounts, which is, in fact, not fair. And do the big accounts suffer? Yes. If we don't do Supernova, the big accounts suffer, and then we really are at risk to lose them. And that's the bigger point, is that we're really not at risk of losing accounts except to death and probably just to death if we give them the 12-4-2 experience in rapid response and financial planning. So that's the confidence that you should have going into week 8, knowing that you're going to keep your best clients, not that they're at risk. Now, one of the things that we talk about in week 8 is, you know how we talk about rebalancing portfolios? We also need to rebalance our duties and responsibilities at least once a year. I called it Operation Pushdown when I was running my office, my practice, my district. So it was always the challenge was always doing meaningful work instead of doing work. Busy work doesn't count. So the question is, what are the things that you can do that only you can do? So on page 76, which is Stephen Covey's model on urgent, not urgent activities, the homework is to put down all the things that you do that are on a daily basis, and then to look at them and say, is this urgent, and is it important? Supernova would fall into the not urgent but important category. And that's where you want to spend as much time as possible. Prospecting would be under the important but not urgent category. All the things that are going to long-term change the quality of your experience and the client's experience and the growth of your business all fall into the important but not urgent category. So what fills up your time? What fills up your time are the urgent important and the urgent not important. And so the question becomes, what am I doing that's not important that somebody else could do? in reality, there are two things that you do that nobody else can do. And one of them is meeting with clients or talking with clients about the business and the market, etc. The second thing is talking to prospects about the business or the market or investing and moving their money to you. So it's either keeping the money or getting new money. That's your job. Everything else, theoretically, somebody else could do. So the question is there a way of leveraging yourself so that somebody else does everything else? So some people have hired a second assistant. Some people have hired an office manager. Some people have hired an intern and keep a permanent intern, which I highly recommend. It's good for them. It's good for you. But they can take on some of these responsibilities, and you can provide for them a great education. So let's talk a little bit about what came to mind when I said urgent but not important that you potentially could give away. Paul?
You talking about duties that I perform, right?
Yeah.
I would say. I guess, you know, answering client calls when they call in, you know, and they want to talk to me. And it's usually, you know, something that's, you know, what's going on with the market, blah, blah, blah. I don't need, you know, maybe it's urgent for them, but it's certainly not important.
There you go. That's good. What else?
An intern couldn't do that, though.
Here's what happens with Supernova. They stop calling. And the reason they stop calling is because they know they're going to talk to you on the 15th of the month or, you know, next week. Mm-hmm. So they've got that appointment scheduled. You've taught them to write into their workbook, into their folder, the questions that they have now, what about the market? So they don't call. So the phone stops ringing. So the efficiency by knowing that they're going to get called is dramatic. Okay? Phone tag would be another one of those things that nobody enjoys. We eliminate the insidious thieves of time, which are urgent but not important, or they shouldn't be urgent, they're important, but they fall under the urgent because you need to call the guy, but if you were talking to him anyway in 3 days, you wouldn't need to even call him. So what happens is you play phone tag, waste a lot of time, and when you finally get the client, half the time it's very anticlimactic because the client's like, what's so important? And you're like, nothing much. I just wanted to talk to you about this and this. And he's like, oh. And by the way, every time you're calling him, it's usually about something, an investment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't always call us back because they don't want to always talk about investments. He's trying to sell me something every time he talks to me. With Supernova, it isn't that way. You're not talking about investments all the time. You can sometimes, but not all the time. So you change the relationship and their perception of you. The value of those phone calls goes up because they know you're talking about them, not about the market or about or trying to sell them something. So anyway, that's kind of, Chris, something come to mind that you're doing now that you'd like to push down or push out or rebalance?
Well, We've tried to practice that, I guess, in the last few years. So, I mean, I don't answer the phone anymore, which has been a big one. I'm trying to figure out how to get my emails delegated out. That's going to take some work. But one of the things that I just heard, so I spent most of this morning sending out the agendas for this week, and Kelly and I were meeting trying to talk about how we can streamline that so, you know, the agendas are as repeatable as possible with maybe the topic of the month or the items we're following up from last month and the things that I think we need to talk about. So trying to figure out how to put, like, a list of names and the two or three things different about that agenda for every client on a piece of paper and let her start shooting the agendas out. So, and then, by the way, wholesaler meetings fall in there as well.
Right.
What does he mean, then? Chris, what do you mean you don't answer the phone anymore?
I mean, I don't answer the phone anymore. I don't answer any of my calls. Oh, and we actually had a couple of, now she knows my top clients. So if it's, you know, one of those, she'll get me right now because we're still in that transition process. But a lot of the calls come in are things that she can do, things that Lori can do, or we've had a couple of opportunities where people come in and say, oh, I really talked to Chris about such and such and such. And then Kelly is saying, great. You know, he's got this next Thursday at 2:00 available if you want me to have him give you a call then. So we're trying to train the clients that when they call, if it's on an issue like, you know, I've got a house, I'm thinking of putting some money down, I want to kind of get his opinion, that we're not going to talk the moment they call. And then I've also had two conversations with clients where they did call in the beginning and say, hey, you know, I talked to my neighbor, they mentioned this, this, and this, you know anything about it, and we'll answer the question, and then I'll say, by the way, remember that notes section in the back of your folder? I said, this is a great place to write that down, because you know we're going to talk in 2 weeks anyway. Make those notes, and she's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That's great. So we're trying to really train them to think about the fact that we're going to talk in 2 or 3 weeks, and they have a folder they can make notes in, but I think I stopped answering my phone. How long ago?
When I started working for you.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while.
Does your assistant have coverage on your line?
Yes, I do.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I see their lines ringing, and it's automatic. I pick them up. It's not always been like that. Sometimes it did take me a little while to get used to thinking, okay, this is a call, and I need to screen it. I'm going to decide if Chris is going to talk to him, if I want to give a wholesaler time, a client time, if it's something I can handle. I'm a lot happier handling it right off the bat, and then Chris coming and pop his head out of the office and asking me a question about it, and then sending me an email. It eliminates a couple of steps in between. So we've gotten comfortable with that, and it's taken a while. I mean, you know, it didn't happen right away, but that's how it happens for us.
And then our intern has also been trained to pick up the phone. She didn't know right away not to come get us every time we got a call, but I said, if you're getting the line, it's because I'm on the phone, Kelly's on the phone, Lori's on the phone. So all you do is take messages when you take calls. So if it
and what do you have your intern doing?
She's doing Supernova. That's all she knows right now. We got a huge file of medical drawers of medical files now that she's labeled. She's in the process of sending them out because a lot of times we may be on the phone with a client and say, hey, before the next call, you're going to get a client file. We don't call them mini-me's with the clients, but you're going to get a client file, and we'll walk through what's in that file when you receive it. And then she'll fill in some of the stuff that she knows that's on there. That's why, Rob, we had Lori and Cindy send us editable versions of those files because she can type them in. So all she's doing right now is Supernova files. And what else?
She's also assisting me with other things. We're short on CSA, so I've kind of been taking on a couple other advisors. But our intern's also scanning documents to branch workflow, saving me time so I can push through. She's scanning documents that we like to save a lot of things to interactions, making her very familiar with the copier, the scanner, faxing. She can fax documents I need back from her desktop. She does have a few other tasks other than Supernova. She's learning systems.
She's doing all birthday cards for us, which we do ahead of time.
Yeah.
By the way, our birthday card count is going way down. And those we invite to seminars is going way down. So that's been an improvement.
Now, Kelly, do you just work for Chris and Lori?
Typically, yes. Right now, no, we're short of CSA, and they're waiting to fill her slot. So I actually cover two other FAs for the interim.
But that's a temporary thing.
That's a temporary thing. But, yes, I normally only work for Chris and members of our team.
Mm-hmm.
So the game is to value your time more than anything else, right, and put your clients first. I mean, Supernova is dedicated to putting the client first. So everything is about making that client experience more meaningful, not making it surface. And, Chris, have you started talking to clients about their, you know, doing your agenda and talking to them yet? Have you done any of that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Talk about the impact on the client. What's their reaction to it and the depth of those calls?
Well, it's different for every person. So we had I've got one of the clients coming back in today because he wanted to bring his wife in to hear what we were doing. He's the president of a large company, and I think I mentioned in a previous call. I actually drove out to see him because I wanted to tour the company. And really had the time. I mean, I didn't really have the time, but I knew I was creating a calendar that I would have the time, so I pretended like I had the time. I drove out there and kind of sat down with him in his office, walked through what we were doing, walked through the fact that we were reducing the number of clients that we had so that we could spend more time deliberately helping them through their financial life, helping them through their plan. And he ended up introducing me to two or three other officers with the company. Got excited about it. Kelly laughed when he called back in to make this appointment. He's like, what is this whole thing that he's doing? You know, what's this new process? But he's been excited about it. He sent us some more money since then. He plays golf with two other financial advisors in this town. And for the first time, I feel like it doesn't matter. I don't play golf, so, I feel comfortable with the relationship. You know, the enthusiastically endorsed provider list has been probably one of the most fun conversations we've had. And really started to, you know, find out some neat things about different providers in the community with clients. But I told my wife this weekend, I said, I can see why people go from 70 to 60 to 50 because you do spend such a deliberate amount of time. I've done more work, Paul, on looking at people paying extra money to their mortgage or buying a second property and how to finance it. And I mean, I've done some pretty detailed cash flow analysis with them to try to help them do it. And I tell them what I'm doing. I said, this is exactly why we're doing this. I said, I need to have the time to have these conversations with you instead of saying you had a bond mature, you had a UIT rollover, you had, you know, something happened to the portfolio when it changed. I said, this is really the way this is going to look for us going forward. And so it's been a lot of fun. I mean, it really has. It's been really enjoyable. It's been a lot of work. Nothing about it right now that's easier. It's just our agenda that's moving us forward and not someone else's agenda.
Well, before you did Supernova, did you do a lot of transactional business, Chris?
I did about 60% in CG business and about 20% in annuities and UITs, which I don't do much of that anymore. So the CG business has grown just because the people we've let go have been less residualized. Our alternative business, we've had more conversations with alternatives since we've been doing Supernova, which has been fun. But yes, primarily residualized. As a matter of fact, it's 75% CG and trails off funds and annuities.
Yeah, I don't do much transaction business, so most of ours is managed. Most of what I do is managed. I don't know about Travis Lewis, but I do a lot of that stuff you're talking about. When people call me up, I'm working on something right now. Where a doctor group called me and said somebody approached them about buying their business and leasing it back to them, and I'm working the numbers out for them to see what that looks like, see if it's a good deal. So I get those calls a lot too. And I like to do that. It's kind of fun.
But the good news is it's a controlled group. I mean, you're doing it specific for the groups. Nothing so far outside of the COI meetings and just sharing the during the supernova process has been a quote-unquote prospecting event, but I think they all have been prospecting events. I mean, I feel like I'm doing more prospecting just talking to my clients about their business because I'm hearing them engaged. And you've heard this before. When you go to these meetings, they say most of us do not feel like we're getting referrals because deep down most of us do not feel we're referable. And I really feel that we're creating a system where we're creating some exclusivity, which we're becoming very referable. Matter of fact, Lori is in the process of reading our website, and the language of our website says, we have decided to work with less clients so that we can provide a greater level of service. And I love that because it's actually true. For the first time, it's really becoming true. And it even makes me feel better about myself as we write those things out, that we are providing a greater level of service and we are doing the business with less people. And that's really what I want us to be known for, that we're not, you know, McDonald's, that we're, you know, the nice high-end restaurant at the end of the street. And there is a certain level of assets and a certain level of fees that come along with working with us, and it's earned. So I've been really, really excited about the process since we've gotten into it. I've got two people sitting at this table that are pushing me as excited as I am. They're driving a lot of the process for me.
Okay. The idea of delegating or giving some work, getting rid of work and giving it to somebody else to do, is a fundamental process of supernova. So one of the things to be sure of is to do an inventory of your time. Where is it going? Is it the most productive use of your time? And is there somebody else that could be doing it? And so, Paul, if you want to keep those potentially meaningful relationships and you want to incubate them, then you need to have a member of your team or a member in the office to give those to so that it doesn't take up your time. Okay, you can still do them, but you shouldn't be taking, you know, $2,000 an hour time on a $200 an hour case. That's just fundamental, good, logical thinking. And people appreciate that. Like Chris said, you know, you want to go to the restaurant that you can't get in because it's sold out all the time. You know, if you are a professional said to, you know, to the world, I'm sorry, my practice is closed, people would be very curious as to how they would get in. So making it exclusive does give you a cachet in the community. It may not be what you want to do, so you build your restaurant bigger and keep making it larger. As long as you can maintain the quality, people will continue to come. So it's just two different ways of doing it. And I don't really care, you know. I'm just here to help you get to your goals. So I think that's pretty much it for the week. We talk about the agenda and what should be on the agenda. That's pretty simple in terms of, you know, there's some templates in there. The idea is what goes on the agenda are things that are important to the client and things that are important to you. Now, we create a 24-month calendar, which we've done already, of, you know, ideas that are going to be used in, you know, for the next 24 months. And those are the things that you prepare for and add to the agenda. And I think a discussion, I mean, one item that I think that Chris just mentioned is the idea of talking about debt, overall debt, and bringing that up and making that an important part of a conversation with every client. Are you selling mortgages? No. We're talking about debt. And everybody has some debt. And the question is it the cheapest debt that they could have? And or is there any other way that you could refinance that and make it more attractive at a lower cost. Okay, so those are, you know, big topics that can be very well done by you in adding value to every call, which you don't have time for if you're really, really busy.
Bob, can I ask a question?
Yeah, shoot.
So when you have the agenda from a meeting and you do the follow-up executive summary, you now have the bookcase of the or the bookends of that meeting, what we're going to talk about, what we decided. Do you put those two sheets in your client file?
I would keep it there, but not permanently. I'd clean it out.
Okay.
I'd keep it there just so I could refresh what we talked about, but then I'd replace it with a new one.
Okay.
I would keep two files for every client. I'd have my thin file, which was basically what I talk about that month. And then I'd have a permanent file where I have trust documents, the entire financial plan, other things that are fat. I don't want my folder to get fat.
Yeah.
Okay. So keep your folder skinny and make the file as big as you want, but periodically clean it out too. Any questions on the agenda or what might go on the agenda? Or well, you guys are pretty good. You're both you're very good at this already. You're thinking about the clients, and you know the clients, and you know what they need and topics of interest, etc. I challenge you to come up with six different ways that you save money for your clients. And I think we often, when clients look at us, sometimes they look at us as a cost center rather than their advocate, you know, their attorney, their advocate. Think of yourself as their agent for saving money. And so I give you a bunch of different ideas in the chapter, but I challenge you to come up with six, and you probably can come up with 10 different ways that you save the client money. And the question is, do you ever tell your clients what you're doing to save them money? And my suggestion is we never give anonymously, that we always are telling our clients, this is what we did for you in order to save you money. And clients really appreciate that.
Right idea.
Okay, yeah, it's really, you know, I mentioned little things. Clients, high net worth clients want to be smart. That's one of the things you can do for them, is to make them feel smart. And by having the right credit card and using it properly will make them feel smart. By having them have the lowest cost mortgage makes them feel smart. You know, using the proper card to get an ATM fees reimbursed makes them feel smart. Now, are these big money numbers? No, but they really are important. You know, when renting a car, when you take out insurance, it's probably half the cost of the car on a daily basis, at least. And if you have the right credit card, you're covered on that insurance. So you don't need to take it out, so you save a lot of money. So it's just understanding what it is that you're selling and making sure that these clients are using the tool, the best tools that you have available for them. Okay?
All right.
Happy to discuss any of that, but those are the little things are my pet peeves. That FAs don't take the time on the little things so that the clients then have to hear it from somebody else. And we don't want them going anywhere else for any information about anything to do with money. All right?
That's good, Rob. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Are you going to be gone next week?
Yeah.
Are you going next week?
think I am. Let me double check here.
You are, because I'm out of town and we're both going to be.
Yeah, we decided that, right. We decided that a week ago or 2 weeks ago that we would not be on that day. So, yeah, that's the 28th.
We skipped
the 28th because I've got actually.
The next following out of that is Labor Day Monday.
We're not back until the 11th.
11th, okay. Good deal.
Good. So you guys got plenty of time now to get caught up, okay?
Yeah.
Get ahead. Get ahead. And it's okay.
I gotta go back and listen to. I gotta get in touch with my inner Trump. You're fired. Fired.
We're gonna hear it. All right. I'll talk to you guys in a couple of weeks. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody.